Abriel Harrell. That's great. I'm getting a little more used to stuff like that. I'm not really one that's done a lot of it. Had to be coached in the Zoom meeting on Tuesday night. But now that I've done it a few times, I'm getting pretty comfortable with it. I'm liking the fact that I'm just tuning in and listening, you know, not the one. But it's come to our lot again, and heard talk about tradition and stuff like that. I don't want to be comical in the stand, but it seems like this is kind of the tradition of the Big Sandy meeting for end up with Chase and Brother Chase and myself. And I would not want to put my son in the bottom of the barrel with me, but I feel like you've got to the bottom of the barrel when you call on me. But what I want you to know is I feel like one of you.
You are.
That's why it's always surprising to me, you know, that because I kind of like to try to fit in and be here to hear the gospel preached and just be one of y'all.
You are.
And I feel that here. I've always felt it very special. This is a special place to me. The times that when I first started coming here, your pastor, and there's just so many things that we can say about those things that we don't want to, you know, we don't want to elevate any one of ourselves in the flesh to where we're puffed up in the flesh. But we must recognize, we've heard it preached this weekend, and I believe it to be true that, as Brother Jeff preached, what an impact. You know, we can change the world, can't we?
Yeah.
We have the ability. I'm not going to preach his sermon. That's not really what's on my mind, but that's one of the sermons out of a lot, and that's what's hard out of a meeting like this, is to try to sort through all the things that you hear. But it's like a wonderful buffet that's spread before us, and we talk about the table of God.
Amen.
And coming in and dining and sitting down at his table. When you can come in and you can feast on the things of the Lord.
Yes.
Special.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. Emotions is not something we should be ashamed about, but I know it's
right.
Not something that you may not, you know, Brother Lawrence stands up and speaks. I never see him shed a tear, but I tell you what, that man speaks the truth as it
yes.
is in Christ.
Yes.
And it's his gift. And then we've seen the diversities of the gift time after time after
right.
time. So if God blesses me to preach tonight, it's going to be because of God.
Amen. Right.
You need to understand that, because just because a name is called out and so-and-so comes and is invited to come or whatever, it takes the power of God.
Amen.
To preach
yeah.
the Word.
Yes.
We're reminded of that in the Word. And I want to start in the book of Proverbs here with the writings of Solomon in the first chapter in the seventh verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But the fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow up them up. Alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, from their feet run, for their feet run to evil. And make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they shall lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owner thereof. The wisdom, the knowledge of what we have in the Word of God, first of all, has been blessed through the ages for God to inspire men to sit down, to not think of their own thoughts. It says that no scriptures in a private interpretation, But these words right here, God breathed upon them.
Right.
I hope and pray you understand that tonight. That this is God speaking. He uses men, which baffles all of us, preaching called men.
Right.
That we could speak the words of God.
Yeah.
But that's what He chooses. And we pray that you are sound enough, that you're wise enough to know if you have been fed. But that's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. We come in one, with one spirit, with one mind, with one God, and one Savior, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. And they are one. As we talked at supper, I cannot divide the three in one God. But He's not three gods. He is one God.
Amen.
In the office of three. Whatever, however, I get confused trying to say that, but I believe it. And that's what's important, to be able to say, Lord, You said it. That makes it so, and I believe it.
Amen.
Now, if you will, if you want to turn with me, let's go to 1 John, the writings of 1 John here. And we've heard a little bit about, I believe, over the last couple of days here, about things that we know. 1 John is a book, and I'm going to go to another place, but 1 John is a book that I actually have stopped and counted, and I'm not going to stand before you and tell you that I've got it exactly numbered, but I will tell you this, it's somewhere around 13, 14, 15 times that this writer John, who is, I believe, the Apostle John, who the book of John, is the same person, the one that wrote the Revelation letter, same man, and he talks about, in the first five chapters here, about something we know. Today, when I talk to people, they want to know if they're saved. And I want to know that I'm saved. But I want them to know that my salvation is 100% of God through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, you can't separate them out.
No.
When it comes to the work of God. We have to believe what He said. He is the God of creation. He is the God of heaven and of earth. He has all power. We've heard that this weekend preached so wonderfully about how that we have an omnipotent God. And we have a sovereign God. I used to try to use the country, the United States of America, as an example to say we were a sovereign nation. But I'm leery about doing it now, because we are not that sovereign nation that we was when our forefathers started this country and this land, when God blessed them to write in our laws and in the Constitution that we believe in God.
Yes, that's right.
This country is great, not because of Trump or anyone else that walks on 2 feet except the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is what made this country great. And if we repent, God will hear from heaven if we truly turn from our ways. And I'm going to tell you, let me point to me, there needs to be some repentance going on. That's the key to it. If we want God to heal our nation, then we need to repent of our evil. We don't need to be, as Brother Lonnie preached at New Hope not too long ago, about giving place to Satan. That's where it starts. We've heard it this weekend, I believe, in different sermons, where the Lord says that you put on my armor.
That's right.
He talks about in the Galatian letter there, I believe, the fifth chapter, I believe it's in the Galatian letter, no, it's in the Ephesians letter there, talking about the armor of God.
Yes.
And he said, and the whole point of that being is, if you don't put it on right, you're going to get hurt.
Right.
Now, I may have used this illustration here before, because all of you that know me know what I did for a living. I was a firefighter for 35 years. And I had a routine that when I fought fire, I had to put my boots on first, pull my pants up, put my coat on, my gloves on, and then put my air pack on, and put my helmet on, the last thing. No, sorry about that, gloves, the last thing. Just about forgot. I've been retired 3 years, so I never forgot all that stuff.
That's pretty good, though.
But my point being is here, you're going to get burned. If you're a firefighter, you're going to get burned if you don't put your stuff on. That young man that was here, preached the other day here, David Elliott, he was the chief of police at Calvert City, Kentucky. Me and him shared a special bond because we was in first responders, is what they call us. And he had his job and I had my job. But he'll say the same thing. If he don't put on his armor and he goes out there and he gets shot, and if he don't have it on, he's going to get wounded, maybe mortally wounded. And I'm telling you that if we don't put on the armor of God every day when we get up,
amen.
And like it was preaching about making choices, we need to. I'm trying my best, brothers and sisters. Even I'm ashamed to say this, but even after being in the church as long as I have, to start every day and to say, God, you're in charge.
Amen.
You're in charge, not me. For so long of a time, I had problems in my life in an early part of my church life where I forgot these things. I let them slip. I fell to the wayside. I'm not proud of that, but I'm telling you, these things are real. God's children get in trouble from time to time.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you where the help is. It's the Lord.
Amen. Yep.
When we talk about truth, what is truth? Truth is the Word of God.
That's right.
There is not any error within this book, not from Genesis all the way to the Revelation letter. There are things that are hard to be understood that the Bible tells us that are hard to be understood. But he says study.
Yeah.
And who am I supposed to study? I'm supposed to study so I can prove myself to Brother Frank, because I want him to think I can preach. That's not what the Bible says, is it, Brother Frank? I have a great amount of respect for this man. He was my pastor one time. He baptized me and my wife. He's a special brother to me.
Amen.
But he's just a man.
Amen.
God says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yes.
A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
So we have this instruction in righteousness that we may be complete in everything that we need. Don't get to thinking that God that you're lacking anything that God can't give you. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, somebody was talking about, said, you know, you can't outgive the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Anybody in here could outgive the Lord?
No.
God is good. God is gracious.
Yes.
These are His attributes, as we heard.
Yes.
Love and joy and peace. Long-suffering, gentleness and goodness, faith and meekness and temperance. Against us there is no law. This is God. Do you see that? And He has given those to us in that free gift. When we are born again of the Spirit of God that He talks about over there in the third chapter of John, that conversation with Nicodemus that didn't understand, how must I enter into my mother's womb again to be born again? He knew about that, didn't he? But he was confused.
Right.
But he said, I suppose that's what he come tonight. He was a nighttime disciple and he come to Jesus. And he said, but I don't understand this, what you're talking about, this born again. But Jesus told him about it. But he tells us something. He said, this is something that's got to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. This is something that's got to happen.
Yeah.
But how does it happen?
Yeah.
You know, Brother Sonny Piles preached a wonderful sermon about the three B's. About the three B's. Y'all know what those are?
Baptism.
That's right. And depending on what order you believe that is whether you're going to have the truth or not.
Right.
Amen?
Yes, that's right.
Let's say it louder, Brother Frank.
Birth, belief, baptism.
That's right. You have a lot of people going out here and saying, you've got to have faith. I never have understood that. I still don't understand it to this day. I have a lot of charity for anybody that professes the name of God.
Right.
I'm talking about, if I don't understand anything else, I know that my job is not to make children of God. I'm just supposed to talk to them. I'm supposed to preach to them. I'm supposed to encourage them. I'm supposed to be, if I'm a God-called minister, I'm just supposed to give them words of comfort.
Amen.
And you know who comforts you? The Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah.
You see, I can talk to you all day long, but when that Holy Spirit, when that's in tune, Brother Patrick, so we reminisce so much, don't we? He said, you know, the Holy Spirit is like, he said it's like a receptor, like a radio receptor. He said, we got all these radio waves out here going on all over the place and you can't see them. But he said, if you want to get the right channel, you got to have the right receiver.
Right. Yeah.
And that's just the way he preached it.
Right.
I believe it was a good analogy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what the receiver is? It's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And who is the one that directs the Holy Ghost? It's God Almighty. He does it when it's His good pleasure. Now, we're going to get on here to the Scripture and give way to my brother, son. Now, well, I have a lot of fun with Brother Steph back here, too, because he's my brother's father-in-law now. You know, and Sister Rachel, my sweet daughter-in-law. Number two. You still ain't got the number one spot yet, but you're number two. My son, he got married first, so, you know, y'all know how it works. All right, let's move on. In 1 John here, chapter 5 here, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's what we're trying to talk about. That's what this born again is. It's from God.
Yes.
Now, watch these little words here that for a long time I didn't pay any attention to because I thought they're just little words. They don't really have any significance to them. Oh, but they do, don't they? And a lot of you knew Brother Fuller, and I love that because there was one word he talking about. He says, it's not proper English to say I is Lois M. Fuller, but he said it's true. Look what he says here. Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot him, also that is begotten of him. But by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Now there's one that slaps me in the face a whole lot right there. David, do you love God? God said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments.
Right.
How do we know if we're walking in discipleship? Whether or not we're doing what the Lord said or not. And it's just that simple. If we're not following what He has told us to do, then we're not pleasing God, are we, Brother Frank?
Right. Right.
Now, you can debate that all day long. You can waltz it around the park. You can clean it up like a pig. But it is what it is.
Amen. That's right.
And I love Brother Joe Nettles, and I'm not Joe Nettles, and I'm not trying to be Joe Nettles. But Brother Joe Nettles gets to the point, but he's preaching the truth.
Yes.
And that's what I want to do. I want to preach the truth. I don't want to offend not one soul in here. Because as the prayer was prayed, we need to be careful that we offend not one of God's little children. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, God has called us to seek out the truth. And He also said in His Word that when we find that truth, it will set you free. There is a freedom in the truth of God's Word that you cannot find anywhere else.
Right.
Verse 3 here, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. It means burdensome. Now go with me for a moment of time. We're going to flip over here to one of the main ones to deal with. That was just kind of a way to introduction because there's an order to this. And I think Brother John Cooper and I, Elder John Cooper and I, had a little talk while he was here. And there's a man right there I've never been around a whole lot. He was in my ordination. I told him, I said, you know, you spoke about you should remember things in your ordination. I'm looking at you, Brother Cole. I hope you'll remember some of these things, and you will. But he told me, he was at my ordination. He didn't have a part in it. A lot of these men with my ordination. Brother Kevin was not, but Brother Paul was there. And I remember all those men. I've got a picture of all of them. Brother Denny, and then there's a lot of them have gone on to be with the Lord. My point being, I said, I remember two things. You was there, Brother Cooper. And I said, and you also told me if I ever needed you to call you. I said, well, I haven't needed you yet, but I know that you're still good to your word. And he said, I meant what I said. My point being, he's a serious brother about the scriptures. Sometimes he's taken the wrong way because he is too to the point. To a matter of the fact, to the point. But I love him because of what he stands for. And I tell you, we have to season what we say with grace. We cannot.
Amen.
Peter wrote in his writing, he said, be ready always to give a reason of the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear, brethren. I don't see when the Lord was dealing with people, with all the things that he went through, where he jumped up and got rash with them. The only time I see where the wrath of God and righteous indignation there in the temple when he run those money changers out because of what was going on in his house. He said, you've made the house of God a den of thieves, if I'm not mistaken. And it upset the Lord.
Right.
And it should upset us.
Yes.
Because when you start, as we heard again, all these sermons are coming in. I mean, they're just flooding in.
That's good.
As we have heard this weekend, the house of God, the true house of God, and the house of worship cannot be everything. It's defined in what it is.
Yes.
Jesus spoke to the woman in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John there, and he told her, she told him, she said, we worship this man. I think she was just as sincere as she could be.
Yes.
because that's what she knew. Yeah. How many people do you know today that what they was brought up under, that's what they know, that's all they know?
Right.
There's our opportunity right there, brothers and sisters, to tell them about the truth.
Right.
If they'll stand still long enough. Now, I'm like the old farmer. Don't shove the whole bale of hay down their mouth. He said, I go out and I feed my cows, but I don't give them the whole bale of hay at one time. I give them a little bit here and a little bit there. Well, I believe that's where the gospel is. The Bible will testify that we get a little bit here. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. A little bit here and a little bit there. None of us enter into the kingdom of God with the knowledge of hopefully that we have after we've been in it for 20 or 30 years. But the shame is, brethren, lots of times when you sit back on the stool and do nothing and you don't grow in the grace of the knowledge, that's to my shame. That's not God's fault. That's my fault. And when you don't do that, that's a kink in that armor that I was telling you about. Satan will get in there and he'll start working.
Yes.
Oh, he is known as the subtlety.
Yes.
Subtle. How did he do it? You know, the scripture there says, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. That's what he tells us that we're to be.
Right. Yeah.
But look what happened in the garden. What happened in the garden? He slipped in, didn't he?
Sure did.
He slipped in. Yes. Slipped right up our knee. Now, sisters, this is not to make you feel second place. God is the one who set the order. He made Adam, and he taken the woman out of Adam. That's God's choice. So if you've got any notions other than that, I would beg you to go study that. That is the order in which God set it. But he made it that way because he said, man should not be alone. He should have a helpmate. My wife is equal to me. I do not look at her as a subordinate. But I've got to be the head of my house because I was called to be. And she knows exactly what her place is. Not that I have to remind her of it or that we have a lot of submission going on at the house. I don't want to give you that indication either. That David rules and Susan listens. No, sometimes it's the other way around, but I'm still. I'm still supposed to be the head of my house.
Yeah.
That's my point. You get what I'm trying to say. Yes, sir. Yeah, let me let that alone. Okay. I heard preach one time, somebody said, you done gone, quit preaching, gone meddling. And that's kind of close to the lines of meddling. In the 8th chapter of Romans here, we establish this point here that we must be in possession of the Holy Ghost. Paul preached in the Corinthian letter there, he said that no man speaking, he tells us, he defines this here, no man speaking by the Holy Ghost can say that Jesus Christ is Lord, or not that Jesus Christ is cursed, or that he is Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. Now, as I told you before, it is so important that we pay attention to the language in which it's written.
Right, yeah.
Now, this is written in the English language because we're English-speaking people.
That's right.
I don't read German Bible because I don't speak German.
Right.
You know, if you speak German, you can read it to me and it's King James. I'm all for you. I don't speak. I wear this out right here pretty bad. This English language. So you can't say nothing. Now. 8th chapter of Romans. Brother John was talking about that we don't need to shy away from scriptures that we've preached on. That the church, that the foundation, the doctrinal principles that the old Baptists believed for years. And I'm one that believes that also. Now I'm not going to go where he's going to be at, but I'm going to go to the 8th chapter of Romans. Now I'm going to begin with the 14th verse in the 8th chapter of Romans. And it said, for as, what time did I get up here, Brother Chuck? You better be watching, son, because I know you got to drive to Memphis tonight. Tell your daddy, say, Daddy, it's enough. Sit down.
Yeah, try that.
Oh, my mighty Lord, help me. Verse 14. Listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
Does that go right hand in hand with what I spoke to you a while ago in the First John letter over there, about chapter 5? And all through the Bible, the Bible is the best commentator of anyone.
Right, that's right.
Now, I read those commentators just like you do, and you do, and you do, and you do. And anybody that's studying in the Word of God, we go to them, but they're not the authority. They have their, and some of it I agree with and some of it I don't. The best I can put it is kind of, now I do like Brother Jones, like he's talking about country road language. I eat the meat and I throw the bones away. Y'all understand what that means, don't you?
That's right. That's right.
Verse 15. Oh, I love this. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear. What's that kind of dealing with? Well, I think that the scripture over here, as we've already attested to, is the best way to interpret the scriptures. Over in Hebrews, it talks about, find it here, and listen to this, 14th, this is in the second chapter, and the 14th verse we'll begin with. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now we've heard a lot spoke about the devil this weekend, haven't we? I mean, not as much as we need to hear, but once again, quote Sonny Piles, we're not going there, so we don't need to know a whole lot about hell. And that's exactly what he said. When I drive by a house and I see somebody reconditioning and air conditioning all that, he said, I expect to move into that place. He said, so that's why we're not going to talk about it, because that ain't where we're moving in.
Right.
We're going up, not down.
Amen?
Amen. I'm telling you now, that may be, I hope it's not too simple for you, but that's just pretty simple.
Yeah.
But it gets to the point. Now the point here is to move on. He says, and deliver them, listen to this, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now there may be, these preachers right here could take that and probably get a lot more out of it than what I get out of it, but I want to tell you what I get out of that. One of the first scriptures that ever spoke to me in a way that I, when I read the Bible, to actually hear what God said, was 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. There is no comfort, there is no peace in fear.
Right.
You hear me? When you're afraid, and listen what the psalmist David said, not if I'm afraid, but when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. Oh, we've heard all this weekend about where our trust should be. In that rock that was the cornerstone that we talked about tonight there. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, that we build upon Him. Everything that we do in our spiritual life is built upon that rock. And that's why the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Right.
Because listen, and that rock, that same rock, is a stumbling block to some.
Right.
And that's part of what's going on there in the Hebrew letter that we're not going to have time to deal with. Really, seriously, I need to know what time I need to stop here, because I need to have a cutoff. They said you took the clock down, so that's... Anyway, give me another couple minutes and I'll give way. I thank you for that. But what I want you to get you to see here is that there's a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. That's mainly what I want to kind of speak on without, and I give you a, what do you call it, Brother Paul, a disclaimer right up front. That's a bigger subject than I can really deal with. Big subject. But I want to get the meat of it, if I can. The spirit of bondage again to fear. What's he talking about? Some of people were subject to fear all their lifetime. Brothers and sisters, we have heard the truth preached that our life in Christ, that our being Christ in you, the hope of glory, that life right there frees you, brothers and sisters, from the bondage of being afraid of where am I going to go? When it is all over and it's said and done, where am I going to go? That is the question that a lot of folks answer, that a lot of folks can't, that don't know the answer to, is what I'm trying to tell you this night. But I believe and I pray to God, because it's like Brother Mike Montgomery, Mike, right now I believe I can just go right on to heaven. But you check my faith meter when I start back to Paris over there, and about when I get to Paris, it's going to be running pretty close to that gas gauge, which goes on empty. That's why we need these meetings like this.
Yes.
That's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to be where the Word of God is preached.
Amen.
And hopefully, and I may say it wrong, but in demonstration of the Spirit with power.
That's right.
Is that right, Brother Frank? Did I get it right?
Yes.
Demonstration. He correct me, and that was, I'm glad. I want to be corrected. So we talk about preaching in power and demonstration of the Spirit.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's wrong, see, and I want to be right. So I thank you for that, my brother.
I love you.
So what I'm saying is, we need to be corrected. When we're not saying it right, we need to get it right. Brother Lonnie used to tell me when I'd get with him, he said, "You're not quoting the scriptures right, Brother Dave. You don't want to get bits and pieces of it." And I was like, "Well, I'll try to do better." And that's what I'm trying to do. But I'm a man, and I'm not perfect. But I tell you, I want to know the truth for Christ's sake.
Amen.
I want to know the truth for your sake. Because if I'm not qualified to be here in this position for a little while, whatever time it is, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want you to just call on me because Brother David's been over all weekend long. He's just chomping at the bits to preach. That's not my lot, brothers and sisters. Yes, I want to preach and I want to testify. I want to witness for my Lord.
Amen.
I want to tell what good things He's done for me, but I don't want to do it unless He's in it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else about preaching that these brethren know, these good brethren know, all of you good brethren. But they know that they can't do it without God.
Amen.
I can talk to you all night. I can read scriptures to you. I can do anything. But if God's not in the matter, it won't touch your heart. It won't deliver me. I won't be able to say a word to you. I ain't got to that point yet where I don't know who I am when I get up here. But I've heard stories about men saying, "I didn't even know who I was." I believe that it might can happen.
Yeah.
If you're not begging the Lord, listen. This is not my association, but it is my association.
Right.
And I pray for your meetings. That's why I've gotten so much out of them the last 2 or 3 years that I've been coming.
Amen.
Because I feel like I'm just like one of you. I need this.
Yes.
If you, I'm a preacher that likes to hear preaching. I ain't really up on preaching as much as maybe some people are like that. But what I'm saying is I need to be preached to.
Yes.
I pray that you're getting something out of what I'm saying tonight, some little something out of tonight, because I know I'm scattered as a goose, but most of the time. But I pray that you'll go back to the Word. We heard that preached out of Thessalonians. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good.
Right.
I teach the congregation that I'm responsible for up in Kentucky there, and I tell them, I say, don't take my word for it.
Right.
You're not supposed to. They tell me their stories. They tell me where somebody said, "I pay my preacher to read the Bible. I don't ever read the Bible." I'm like, wow. You got to be kidding me. I mean, that sounds out of this world. But as we talked about a while ago, there is things that's happening in this world right now that's getting where we're like, we're not even surprised.
Right. Yeah.
It's happening fast too, brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. The spirit of adoption. Where does this come from? Well, one of the places that we have that you'll hear quoted so many times, wonderful, wonderful scriptures. Ephesian letter, first chapter, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the... Get this right here. For so long I missed this key right here. You know why you do what you do? That's one of those, what do you call it? One of those questions that you don't need an answer for? Yeah, thank you. Rhetorical. According to the good pleasure of His will. The more I study the Bible, the more I see how little I am, how insignificant I am, how I feel to be a worm of the dust. And we've heard about that, and that's what the world wants you. That's where they want, and that's where Satan wants to keep you, brothers and sisters. He wants to keep you right down in that squalor. But he says, you ain't nothing but a stinking sinner. A stinking sinner. I feel that. I hate to tell you this, but by experience I feel that.
Yes.
When I would do good, evil is present with me.
Yeah.
All the good that I would do. That's what I seek after, but that's not what I always do.
Right.
Oh, but when we can suffer for the name of Christ. Peter wrote it over and he said, it's better that you suffer for well-doing, suffering when you are reproached, or whatever. I could turn to the scripture, I'm not going to, but when he's talking about suffering there, you know, he said if you've done something wrong and then you wait for that, he said that's not pleasing to God at all. But what's pleasing is when you suffer for well-doing. What is well-doing is when you're doing what the Lord has commanded you and it doesn't make any difference what's being brought your way. You just say, Lord, I thank you for the And that's where our sufferings, that's what Peter's talking about the sufferings. That's where we can look to Him and we can glory in our infirmities because we're doing it for the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm not going to get off on my son. Everybody knows. I just want to tell you, Jonathan's doing good right now with his cancer. He's in remission.
God be praised.
That's right.
Amen.
And let's don't forget to give praises when things go good.
Yes, right, that's right.
We run to the Lord, don't we, real quick when we get that first news, don't we? But then as the time goes on, going over 7 years now, and my son's been having these treatments, maybe longer than that. I lose track. But I'm going to tell you what, even though he's not among our old Baptists, he's a Baptist of another persuasion, but his faith has defined him through this whole thing. That's why I'm thankful to God that I'm with a people that says, it's not about what you do. It's not about what church you attend or anything else. It's about the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because I read in this book where He has a people out of every tongue, nation, tribe, and kindred of people. That's going to be conformed. That's going to be transformed into Jesus Christ at some day. We right now, we don't know what we're going to be. He says we look through a glass. Paul, I believe it was, said we look through a glass darkly now. And we don't know fully. But someday we're going to know as we are known.
Amen.
I love that scripture right there because I know on prophesying part, he said, if you have all knowing and all the things that go along with that, he said, but you have not charity, you're as a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. Thud is what that means. Not ding. Doesn't sound off.
But it does.
And that's what I've been saying. Adoption of the children of Jesus Christ Himself according to good pleasure His will. To the praise, all that scripture, that just keeps popping up. There was another place I thought I might go to tonight over in the, later on in this Ephesian letter here, but it seemed like the Lord directed me in a different path. But to the praise of the glory of His grace.
Amen.
And these good brethren here might know how many times that phrase is repeated in Ephesians. It's over and over and over. To the praise, let's just read it again. He says, to the praise of the glory of His grace.
Yes.
See, when the dead atheist and the sinner understands that he is nothing and God is everything, then you begin to see. Then you begin the lights being shined is turned on. And then you can let that light, and listen, brothers and sisters, I don't mean to throw any stones at anyone, but when you talk about the light gives you, that ain't just a little bitty light. I hear that referred to, that little light that I got in myself. I'm telling you what, this light that God has shined us in us is glorious.
Amen.
We're the ones that put it under a bushel. Amen. We're the ones that quench that sometimes because we quench the Spirit. Sometimes we don't thank you, Brother Paul, for your not quenching the Spirit earlier in the day in the meeting there and just letting her go by the Spirit. I wished I could do that, but I ain't got there yet. But what I'm saying is, don't doubt that that's real with that brother. And when you hear that from time to time, like we used to hear was a common place in the church for people to shout because they were rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
To grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your good attention. God bless you. Come on, son.
God bless you.